have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs on Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And I'll tell you what, when the Big Ten decided to go to 20 conference games and add a couple there in the middle of non-con, I think that's exactly what college basketball was looking for in that performance. What a game. Illinois prevails by a final score of 87-83 over the Iowa Hawkeyes in Iowa City. Four-game win streak against Iowa. Man, wins against Iowa are just so delicious. I mean, first win in Iowa City since 2017. We'll get that out of the way. What an unbelievable, I think it comes down to really just, it was a game of runs. We'll get into it a little bit more, but I think ultimately when you look back on this game, it was really a game of runs from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, kind of breathing a sigh of relief as the final buzzer sound, because it was one of those things where We had taken another big run kind of in the middle of the second half, and then we just couldn't kind of finally close out the game. We're up 10 at the under four, up 11, and then they have that quick 8-0 run, and you're like, are they doing the Illinois basketball thing of old? But we prevailed, and what was really nice to see was clutch free throw shooting down the stretch, 24 of 28. Mm-hmm. Really like that. I mean, the only misses were like Grandison missed.
Grandison had one. It was halfway down.
Trent missed one, but 5 for 6 from Kofi, that was amazing. Like, it's just, we can exit Iowa City without Curbelo. They had their best player, like Keegan Murray. Oh, he might not play, he might not play. We didn't have one of our best players. We still won on the road. Bank that win, continue to look at the Big Ten standings. We got 18 more games.
Yeah, I'll just say, I love how watching these games, you see how Johnny and I's fandom or the way we approach games is so different, where when I was starting to cut it in the last 4 or 5 minutes, I go it has to be like this, you know, a 12 point lead turns into a 5 point lead in 71 seconds. I go, it has to be like this. And Johnny's like, no, it doesn't have to be like this. And in my mind, yes, there's just, these games can't be easy enough where you just go out to a big lead in the first half, you hold that lead at almost never. It has to be like this, where there's that game where they go on a 21-2 run, and then in the last 8 minutes where you're up 12 and they bring it down to 5 in 71 seconds. And Johnny's like, no, it doesn't have to be like this.
Yeah.
And John, the same guy who, when we're down 19 with 5 minutes left, you're like, all right, just get it to like a 12 point game with at the under four. Your soul is just...
I was spoiled by the 05 team in my formative years of seeing them come back down 15 against Arizona. Just like, they've made anything seem possible. But it was nice to see we didn't have a Marquette kind of meltdown at the end like we did at the start of the season. This team's a little bit more composed in a true road game. And even when the refs were making a lot of questionable calls here, we were able to pull it out.
I think down the stretch, as I think, they were probably... Like, I don't think this game would have been won or lost. Was not won or lost because of the referees, ultimately. I know that's such an easy thing to bag. It's such an easy thing to bank. But ultimately, I don't think it's a game that was dictated by the officials. Sure, would we like Kofi Coburn to be officiated the same way that a point guard does? That would be nice. It would probably result in 4 or 5 more free throws, but that's just not how basketball works when you're that strong.
Well, it should work like that.
I agree it should work like that, but that's just, it doesn't work like that ever.
He's getting hacked. Like, every text message you'll send, every tweet you'll see, is he's legitimately getting hacked.
Oh, that must mean it's true, though. If Bob from Tutopolis is saying that he's getting hacked,
Bob
on every...
from Zupke.
No, of course, yes, sometimes he's getting hacked. But it's just like, how often in the NBA or in college basketball do you see big men who are just stronger than the 6'2 point guards go up hard to the rim, and they just don't get the calls because they don't react?
Luka got it all last year. That's all right. We should stop talking about the refs. Yeah. That's not the point of the game. The point of the game was we had great contributions again from Grandison as well as Plummer, but the main guy, Kofi, like, people thought he had a bad game. Kofi went 17 for 18. Like, that's
17 and 18.
17 and 18. Like, if you have a college basketball player, if you have a player on your team do that, he is by far and away the most dominant player on any team. Like, no team can, like, go into a night and get 20 and 10 or 15 and 13 from any player. Kofi does that night in, night out.
Yeah, career high in rebounds.
Yeah, he had 13 defensive rebounds. Iowa had 14 defensive rebounds. Like, 18 rebounds compared to 23 to them. Like, he's just a monster. And honestly, he would have had a better game if we were better at passing him the ball. And I would double team the heck out of him, one turnover. Like, that's a very solid performance out of Kofi, showing his poise, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Like, 17 and 18 is just not something you see in a college basketball game.
Should have had a few assists too, but.
Yeah, they missed some shots. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, you look at KenPom and it says Grandison was the MVP of that game, which, I mean, in the second half, it did feel like that. Hit a couple of huge threes and then also the free throws. And even, like, he hit that one mid-range one out of out-of-bounds play where, like, it really kind of settled us down.
I turned to Johnny and I half sarcastically go, how many players on the floor right now for Illinois know that there's 4 seconds on the shot clock? We've seen a couple of those early on in the season where it's an inbounds with less than 5 on the shot clock, and it kind of looks like there's kind of no leadership there saying, hey, guys, like, there's 4 on the shot clock. Grandison knew exactly what he was doing. They're getting in that spot. They're throwing it up there for 2.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice design play, too, because it was like everyone's looking at Kofi, and they think, oh, we're screening for him, and then you kind of, like, screen the screener at Grandison, and then just kind of walk away. But while we're talking about some of the mental mistakes, we do have to talk about the 10 seconds over and over and over again. I mean, it's crazy that you turn the ball over 18 times, they're 4 and won a basketball game, but that was definitely frustrating.
4 is insane. I like to only turn the ball over 4 times and score 83 points. Like, that is extremely impressive, but they just couldn't rebound.
No, 52 to 23 was the rebounding difference there, but yeah, Illinois went back-to-back 10-second calls. I get it. I'm not a Division I basketball player. Like, it's obviously harder to get it across half court than it looks when I'm sitting from my comfy couch. But there are some moments where it looks like Hawkins is just stopped, or Trent is just kind of like walking up the ball. Like, I feel like you got to constantly have forward-moving momentum towards the half-court line.
Maddie.
Yes.
Can Sam read a text off of his phone right now?
I would love for Sam to read a text off of his phone right now.
Fran, I was laughing because he already said this too, but Fran texted me.
Yeah, what Josh saying?
Sorry. Josh, my contacts must be screwed up. Quote, I'm no basketball expert. Can someone explain how a team can't get past half court? And then he said, or something of that nature, will come out of Maddie's mouth tonight, -430.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm the king of these, like, rhetorical, unanswerable, half-sarcastic questions. I need them answered. They've never been answered before in my life. They will never be answered. And I have to
live with that. Why isn't Donnie returning? No one knows.
I don't know why Donnie isn't returning kicks. The basketball version of that is when we did get it past half court, how when we had like a 5-on-3, mm-hmm. that we're not allowed to push it right there. We have to sort of pull it back. You know, Brad, the clearly instructed the team, it's like, hey, you have an advantage.
Yeah. We got really annoyed because then it's like, now you kind of are controlling the ball by the time you're letting everyone get set. Now it's 12 seconds left and you're going to try to give the ball to Kofi, but then he might get double teamed and it kind of creates a little bit of a stagnant offense. You're like doing exactly what you want Iowa to do. But we finally kind of decided, okay, like, we made a nice pass to Grandison. Grandison passes it to Monte. Then he passes it to Plummer in the corner with a minute left, which was a dagger.
Where's where they're like, that's where you picked your poison wrong there. Where the selling out there on the press doesn't work because it opened up. That pass by DeMonte was amazing.
Yeah,
right,
he
at
just
the top
threw
of the
a
key
bullet
there.
And then just no hesitation. Plummer from did Plummer.
The awesome celebration there with the bow and arrow celebration.
It was an awesome moment, but you attack the rim twice or 3 times after you break the press earlier in the game, and you don't have to face that the rest of the game. Like, they just automatically got into that set. Like, they would have to go into a half court set because they would always, like, take it back, like, try to refresh the themselves in the half court offense. But if you take it to the rim twice, three times, maybe miss one of them, you're still going to make Iowa second guess if you're going to do it. It's just so frustrating just watching it continuously time after time. That's the answer, like, to your rhetorical question, is if you attack and not have to refresh after every time you break the press.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were frustrated with it. And fortunately,
for some reason, Brad said, I think, like, he literally said, like, don't, yeah, you know, settle the offense down. I don't know if they're trying to just get half court set.
Yeah, it might be the function of not having a true point guard without Curbelo, right. But obviously he didn't really trust them to kind of push, which is, as fans, we're sitting there helpless wanting them to do that. But fortunately, you got the win, and I don't think, at least for a little while, you're going to face this kind of pressure defense from a few different teams. Like, not a lot of Big Ten teams are really believers in this. Like, Iowa does their kind of ticky-tack stuff. Obviously, Marquette does stuff like that. But I don't expect that out of Arizona. And I mean, who knows? Maybe Mizzou might do that. But
that, I feel like, in a game where, like, Illinois on paper is the better team, and Mizzou lost to, who did they lose to the other day? Like, Liberty?
By, like, 20.
By, like, yeah. 20. Like, that, they're going to try to create chaos, right, by doing stuff like try to turn the ball over. They know that Illinois has been a pretty turnover-prone ball club so far early in the year. I know we're already talking about bragging rights here with what, like, 18 days away or whatever it is, but that's maybe the way in which Mizzou tries to create a little ruckus here. But, yeah, hopefully you don't face that kind of press again, and then when you do get Curbelo back, hopefully they are more ready and prepared to face any sort of press Virginia like team, which we were not prepared for that. John Gross did say that they had prepared for that when we played West Virginia and lost by 40. I want my money back for that one, John.
one other thing I gotta say though, he turned the ball over a decent amount, made a couple of mental mistakes, but honestly, so happy for Trent Frazier. 18 points, 8 rebounds. The dude is tiny and getting 8 boards, and he's never won at Iowa. Him and DeMonte never won at Iowa. I guess no one on the team had won at Iowa, but really nice for your fifth-year senior to be able to do that. And on the flip side, we contained the heck out of Jordan Bohannon. Some people were nervous about that. He had 4 points and really had 2 points until a layup with a second left, and his plus minus, he was like minus 12 on the game. The dude was just...
How many minutes did he play?
17 minutes. He was just not productive. Six-year senior.
Is there a six-year senior that came back to play 17 minutes in your rivalry game and hit 2 threes? Huh?
He had 0 threes. Or 0 threes. Two baskets.
Two baskets? Two for 5. Yeah. Again, I mean, like I said, I'm not a basketball expert. Someone explain it to me.
Yeah, you're not a basketball expert. I just hope it defines both of our seasons. We have 2 fifth-year seniors for DeMonte and Trent that are coming back and providing actual real minutes, and Iowa just suffers at the hand that they have to give another scholarship to Mr. Jordan Bohannon.
And yeah. Several McCaffreys.
Yeah, he came back for the NIL money. And same thing, DeMonte completely outplayed his foe, Connor McCaffrey, like 3 points, 1 assist, 0 rebounds for McCaffrey, as opposed to DeMonte, just 6 assists. Like, we'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Oh, man. Inject it. The visceralness. Yeah. Like, let's acknowledge, just, it was Iowa, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like we haven't gotten, you know, into that enough. The fact, like, yes, all right. Fans against Iowa in Iowa City right after COVID. Like, ugh. It's still sinking in.
Yeah, and I'm pumped that we get to play them again.
Sam's facial expression. You should see Sam's facial expression right now.
I'm thinking about the 2015, it's a tomato. 2015 Aaron White game. That's all I'm thinking about. Yeah.
That's so specific. I bet you're thinking about other things.
Earlier today, I tweeted out from the Boardroom account saying, who is Illinois' biggest rival and why do you think that way and because why? And the most common answer was definitely Iowa. There was like kind of split with Mizzou, but Iowa's by far the main one, and just this feels so good given all the Bruce Pearl stuff. Every single win we get against them from back in the 90s all the way through now, it just feels so good beating them because, I mean, F Bruce Pearl.
Dion's there to call the game too. Yeah.
That's it. And
drive home safely, beep beep.
Yeah, and Bardo was also there to call the game, which was funny. Yeah. When we had him on the podcast, Josh said to him, you know, we kind of have this new rivalry between Illinois and Iowa. Yeah. And then he stops you and says, you know, that was the only
new rivalry.
Cause that was like the only place that he didn't win in his 4 years was at Iowa. So nice that we didn't have to worry about that for Trent and DeMonte. And I guess now everyone on that team can say they've won at Iowa City.
It seemed like Bardo enjoyed the win for the Illini tonight. Usually when he's on the call for us, we don't really hear bias out of him. But like when there were some pretty tough calls by the refs, sorry for bringing up the refs again, he kind of showed his personal bias there. He did, I think, try to like sub in some like pro Iowa stuff from time to time. But throughout the whole broadcast, like I'm pretty sure he was very pro Illini. And if I was an Iowa fan sitting at home, I'd be pretty annoyed with him.
I'd be pretty annoyed in general if I was an Iowa fan, just as a general state of malaise living in that state. But
that's Iowa fans deserve every single call, so obviously they're going to be upset. And I mean, tough weekend for them. You know, you lost 42-3, and then now little Monday night, 87-83, just tough to be an Iowa fan.
Yes,
after all these decades of success in football, really feel for
what
those
bowl
guys.
Are they going to right now? What bowl are they going to? What 9-win
Citrus,
the FranCon Bowl.
PC FranCon Bowl. another 9-win seat. Poor Iowa, yeah.
Speaking of FranCon, though, that was honestly some
that's
of
not
the
even on the scale, yeah. that one moment.
Yeah.
Like, that was just...
That was some great entertainment, though. Yeah. The end of the half where...
a use it or lose it timeout, and he was not going to lose... He did lose it. He didn't lose a timeout because he used it. But yeah, why are you calling that timeout there other than to yell at your players?
Yeah, literally just drops an F-bomb and then immediately uses the entire timeout just to stare at the players, not say a word, just like angrily stare at them.
I had secondhand discomfort. Wow. But I also enjoyed it.
And that was really nice too as Illini fans because we'd taken a big lead. Then they go on the 21-2 run. And then we kind of like settle down and retake the lead. So you're up three watching this and you're like, okay, like maybe things are going to be okay.
Yeah. Like we said, it was like a bad buffet. After you have a bad buffet food, it's a game of runs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was workshopping that one. I was thinking before we started recording, I was thinking, should I say that one? I think it was received pretty well.
The food or the joke?
Oh, the food would not be received well if it's a game of runs. The joke was received exceptionally well by Sam.
Yeah, amazing.
Hey, I'm still waiting for your comedic...
I'm thinking about it.
your pun here.
The other hot mic besides the Fran Loud F-bomb was... Iowa has two like floaters. I think one was a three and then a floater following it where they both come up short and you just hear Monte just yell, "Short! Short again." It's just very funny hearing him say that with this like Iowa crowd very quiet. So good. I love good communication between our teammates.
I love it. I love it. I do love fifth year DeMonte in Iowa City just getting his comeuppance against Iowa is very well deserved. Oh, hey, Dickie V tweeted about us half an hour ago. Saying that we're 2-0 in the Big Ten. We got a tough win against Iowa. GR8 second half by Kofi. Kofi C dominated 17-7 in the second half, but had help. He says, Illini will be a national legit threat when they get Andrew Curbelo back. You know what? We're going to let that slide. Yeah. We're going to let that slide.
It was autocorrect.
We hope you're doing well.
And talking about just like internet reactions, I'm also very happy. I would love to hear from the message board poster Iowa Loud, who said, "I still think we can beat Illinois without him," referring to Keegan Murray. So I'd like to hear, would they have won without Keegan Murray had he not played?
True.
I don't know.
That's true. Their leading scorer. I don't.
Yeah.
Who are you taking minutes away from? Like Bohannon? Yeah. Two buckets? Like, there's no place like the boards. There really is no place in America like the message board. Yeah, shout out a lot Iowa there for little bulletin board material for us podcasters to give after here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the players were also looking at the Iowa message boards before the game as their pregame
Absolutely.
Routine.
Absolutely. Interesting stat here. Someone had a career high in rebounds that wasn't Kofi. Do you want to guess?
Trent.
Yeah, 8 boards, career high. That's pretty, yeah. I mean, I think aside from the whole, game of runs thing, I think the rebounding was probably the other, obviously when you out-rebound someone by 30 points, or by 30 rebounds, that's probably going to be the story of the ball game. Very few offensive rebounds, very few second chance points.
For Iowa,
let's see how many they had. Yeah, 17 second chance points. Or sorry, 11 second chance, 17 there fast was that, break.
There was that one possession where we got two offensive rebounds. So on our third possession within like on our half court, there was like three Illini like surrounding the ball at one time.
Effort.
And there wasn't one the effort. Yeah, everyone was there together. It was like a team it was a team job.
A little
Johnny
team
just
meeting
go into
at
your,
the ball.
Johnny, just do your effort. I know you wanted to do it.
The second he stands for effort, everything you do.
They gave all that effort and everything that they did. They had their pregame lasagna.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so cool. Just seeing 60% of the starting lineup or 60% of the players on Illinois in at the game just kind of converge in that corner there. And it ended in a three.
It ended in a Trent. He got fouled.
Oh, the foul.
He drove.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So that was awesome. Anything else about this game before we move forward? Of course, we do need to talk about a man from Chicago, number 12, Io DeSumo, who's started his first game because Caruso's out, DeMar's in the protocol, so he got to start, and he's playing really well. I don't have if we want to pull it up. I know we said we weren't going to do
it. Right,
he's now got 11, 5, and 6 right now with 8 minutes left in the fourth. The Bulls are up 9. I know we said we weren't going to do any live stuff here, so they're in commercial, but it's still just surreal, right? I guess is the word to see Io playing on the Bulls as a Bulls fan in Chicago, a kid growing up. And I mean, this is a question that we will get to ponder for a long time, and a lot of draft scouts that work for teams will also get to play with this question for a long time when they didn't take him. But again, if you're redrafting, he's a lottery pick. He's got to be a lottery pick. He's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
We're biased.
We're definitely biased. It's hard to. I can't say like, oh, where does he rank amongst the 60 rookies? Is he 12th? Is he 10th?
Right.
And also like he's obviously going to be a little better than certain guys who are projects. Like he was more ready to play in the NBA.
Higher floor, right? Lower ceiling, maybe. That's
exactly. True. But it's awesome. And I mean, as a fan, it was a little annoying that you couldn't honestly spend your full attention on that, because we had the Iowa game and you're like kind of stressed out, but it's also like from Chicago. I just like,
yeah,
it is amazing that Tim Sinclair was the one who got to do that. We had a little bit of a debate before. I would say I prefer him. I would like him to say from the University of Illinois. I know some of you guys said it's cool for it to say Chicago, but I mean, I can't think of any Illini players who have started for the Bulls. So like, I'm always just about like, get that PR train rolling. Any kid who's in the stadium here is from the University of Illinois. Like, yeah.
I think in our Io episode, Io got drafted to the Bowl episode, you said the exact opposite statement. I'm pretty confident.
No, I mean,
fighting words.
I think I might have been making the point that like they should say University of Illinois, but then they shouldn't say Chicago.
Chicago's so
sick. It's all on tape. I wonder, probably very unlikely. But I wonder if there's no way that he's the first UVA guy to start for the Bulls. I'm sure like in the 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever.
The Bulls run around in the third. The Bulls have been around for.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Bulls. The Bulls have been around.
Since the 60s.
Since the 60s. How long has Biggie Bagel been around for? Was he like 64?
He lost. Were we like the White Stockings before or whatever?
Yeah, the Cubs were the White Stockings
the
before.
Whales are.
Right. So I guess you've had like 60 plus years of, there's gotta be one guy.
We're going to find out.
We're on the case. If someone could actually tweet that at us, we'll look
into
it.
Kendall Gill did play for the Bulls 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
But did
like
he start on the Bulls?
Probably.
This is good. Okay. Do you have any jokes you want to tell Sam while Johnny looks this up?
Yeah, waiting on Io.
Okay, he did make
pick.
35 starts.
Yeah, that is good. That is
as a 35-year-old, but still, it's been 18 years since then. So it would be nice to hear in that intro from the University of Illinois.
Sure,
I'd assume it.
Tim Sinclair is still getting it down. Actually, you know, it's funny when Tim
did
it at U of I, he would have said from Chicago.
Exactly.
That's
so he's
true.
Used
he's
to
just,
that. Maybe it was like a reflexive thing. Yeah. He didn't even realize.
Muscle
it.
Memory.
Just add one to the number, Tim, and you know the rest. That was just an elite moment getting to hear his name called. Okay. Again, we will certainly continue to bask in the glory here. Enjoy it, Illinois fans. Like, this is awesome. Winning against Iowa. Enjoy it. Celebrate responsibly. Up next, Arizona.
Predictions?
Saturday. Predictions. I don't know anything about Arizona. That's my prediction.
let's do a spread prediction because we love to do this.
I do love spread predictions. So ESPN low-key gives us like an 80% chance of winning. I don't love those numbers always. I do feel like they don't tell the full tale. And now I know Arizona's like technically 11th and we're not ranked. I do think that, again, not knowing anything about Arizona other than the fact that their coach should be in jail.
not anymore.
Their coach is actually now a fantastic person.
Yeah, right. They're old coach.
Really don't know anything about
old coach. Wait, who's their new coach? Matt.
Tommy Lloyd. He's from Gonzaga. He's actually the reason why Stephen Gentry isn't our coach because they took the assistant coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where's Mr. Miller?
What?
Where's Mr. Miller?
He's fired. He is on a podcast right now. He's basically doing our job.
Probably made a plea deal.
Oh.
With Rob Dawson.
We have the same job.
We don't have the feds.
Did I also coach D1?
Yes.
I always get confused.
But yeah. Like, for example, Ken Pom, though, says 61% chance Illinois wins because it is a home game. Like Josh had said, we're 13th in Ken Pom. They're 12th. So we're right next to each other. And they still have a game on Wednesday. But one thing that I did forget to mention about Iowa was they're currently, before like today's game goes into effect, they were 9th in the net, and a win at the 9th best team in the net, that's like a quad one, top half quad one, and even a top 75 win on the road. So like, nice to bank a quad one win. I know we're way like far bracket
bank
stuff,
Hell,
but bank them and just... Don't look back.
No, absolutely. You're at the top of the Big Ten right now, 2-0. Absolutely, I'll take that. I'll take that 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. Definitely don't have to apologize for that. Okay, I'll go Illinois minus like 4.5.
This has nothing to do with anything, but it's just funny that they beat UT Rio Grande by 54 at home. We barely beat them, and I think I'm gonna say Illinois. I'm gonna say minus 0.5.
Yeah, I think maybe like 1.5. Like
I might have been far off.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have done.
They haven't had one game that like looks like a challenge.
They did play Michigan.
Wait, it doesn't show in KenPom.
That wasn't a challenge. It wasn't really a challenge. Michigan, it's not really.
Oh, I'm looking at Wyoming. They played.
Yeah, no,
that is a good point because Wyoming, they're not.
Have you seen Wyoming's not? Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a joke.
Yeah, it is absolutely.
Okay, so they also played at Oregon State.
Fran pulls up Arizona. So actually, this team is very
well.
Good.
Actually, Oregon State, I think, has like one or two.
Yeah,
they're doing the Kansas State
against. Yeah, is Arizona last night? My goodness.
But
4.5 is probably a lot. Yeah.
But also going back to the net though. Number three in the net right now is Arizona. So like once again, as far as quad one, non-conference big win, like this is huge for your tournament resume, even though we're still really far away. It'd be really nice to have because you didn't get to have that Arkansas matchup. But also hopefully you got to keep rooting for
Johnny,
Kansas State. What's up?
They got no names on this. Like, do you know how like every team like that we played, there's always a name that Illinois is potentially recruited.
Oh, yep.
I don't see one that like we potentially had any interest in.
That's a record.
Azolis Tubelis is their major contributor. This is going to be the new Gonzaga.
Tommy Lloyd, he's known for his international recruiting, and
I can tell.
As I look through the lineup, I'm honestly not sure if they've a starter from the U.S.
That's really cool, though.
That is pretty cool. They have one U.S. starter.
That is awesome. Yeah, obviously Gonzaga.
Multiple Lithuania guys.
Yeah, Shemek Karnowski, his brother there. That's obviously Gonzaga.
They do have two people above 7. They have three people above 6'11 that start.
We have four beneath 5'9 on our podcast.
That's wild.
That's good stat right. for you. That's why. That's
stuff,
why
guys.
We only keep it. Recording. Okay, awesome. I am amped for that game, and I think that's partly to do with how riled up we are right now. But awesome. Illinois gets a huge win. In the words of Johnny, bank 'em. 87-83 in Iowa City. Move to 7-2, 2-0 in the Big Ten. Iowa drops to 7-2, 0-2 in the Big Ten. Ouch. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will catch you on the next episode of The Boardroom. ILL.